Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, when you sent me the details on today's topic, my first thought was a Rolling Stones song from 1980. I'm sure you remember. And then something like that. Then after reading more deeply into your notes, all I could think about is how I need therapy when I browse the Cheesecake Factory menu. You see where I'm
You're
going?
You're just trying for that cheesecake endorsement. You are going for it so hard.
All right, so if you haven't figured out with Tracy's your topic is emotional rescue. It's emotion versus logic in decision-making, and you reference that emotions drive 80% of the choices we make. Now, you can imagine, I get very emotional at Cheesecake Factory with that overwhelming menu. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is the Journey to Their radio show, the intersection between personal and business growth. Click on our website at journeytothere.com. You can listen to all of our past episodes. You can listen to everything on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Empower Radio, and Stitcher. Now, in the words of Mick Jagger, Tracy, be my savior, steadfast and true. Come to my emotional rescue.
I so wish I could sing it, but the best
Please
I can
don't.
Do is the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, that's about as much as I can take.
I know. I apologize for that. I just love to sing, and off the mic, Russ gets to hear it so frequently. I'm sorry.
Too frequently.
You could do that. So you could just put earplugs in your headphones.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get started before I make an emotional decision here.
Yeah, to kick me out.
To turn your mic down.
Right. Okay. So, well, you know, just so that we can get back into our topic, I'm just going to throw out a fun fact that has to do with emotional rescue.
Is this what inspired the episode?
Oh, boy, no.
I can't wait to hear that.
I'm getting into that.
Oh, and by the way, I read through your notes, and one of the points I'm excited to hear about is that even during a recession, we still like to vacuum. That's just a side note of what we're going to talk about. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, way to divert me. So how I came up with the name for this episode is attributed to the Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay.
Because during the course of a very significant and impactful emotional versus logic decision-making process I was going through, I also just happened to be watching the documentary series on the Rolling Stones, and I have a fun fact for you.
Okay, cool.
Their 1981 Rolling Stones World Tour was the very first tour to be sponsored ever.
Really?
They set the precedent for sponsoring world tours.
Not Rolling Stones world tours, but sponsoring world tours altogether?
Universally, yes. They were the very first to be sponsored and set the precedent. And guess who it was?
I was going to ask you, can we say who the sponsor was?
Oh, yeah, we can.
All right.
It was Jovan Perfume.
Wait a minute. Perfume? Sponsored
men's
a Rolling
perfume.
Stones tour?
Well, it's like men's cologne. Like,
oh, it's cologne.
Like,
okay.
The 90s version is probably like CK1 for Calvin Klein, but like my dad in the 80s used to wear Jovan. I literally know exactly what
my dad used to wear High Karate. I don't know if you remember that one. That may have been the 70s.
Jovan must have been printing money at the time, selling their musk perfume for men because they paid $4 million.
That's a lot of money in 1981.
Sponsorship.
A lot of money.
I know, right? So there's your fun fact. If you don't listen for the rest of the episode, now you know
you're fulfilled.
That Jovan has paid $4 million to sponsor the first concert ever. And how relevant is that to this topic? Yeah. Not anything relevant.
Information
whatsoever.
I cannot use, but anyway.
However, it did help me come up with the catchy name for an experience that has now come to a close, but I will rehash on our show because I don't know about anybody else. It just makes me feel better.
Okay.
So here is my situation. I'm going to try to tell this long story short. You know, that gets challenging. However, so my husband and I have been looking around recently for some investment properties. And, you know, have you ever shot for, real estate in general? You've shot for real estate.
Yes, I hate it. It's like shopping for a car.
Amazing house that you should never sell. So you're probably not doing that right now. But so we were looking for some investment property. And the best way to find investment properties is to go with a realtor that really knows the market really well and that you have a good relationship with, right? Because they have a tendency to kind of look out for you. So we had placed a call, you know, a month or so ago to a really great real estate friend of mine in Athens, Georgia, which, as you recall, we both used to live.
Yes.
And it's also someplace that I just really like. So if we had a property there, it would be great fun. Still have a lot of friends
there.
So nothing came of it, right? Well, you didn't know that, but
I'm hearing this for the first time.
I know. Sorry. I'm just sitting here looking at you like we've had this conversation a million times.
And my head is cocked to the side saying, what are you talking about?
Like what? Okay, so nothing came of it, Russ.
Right.
And so we put it on the back burner and life goes on. So about a week or 10 days ago, I got a phone call out of the blue from a man who I sold my most recent house that I lived in Athens that I sold it to. He bought it for his mother, who at the time was in her 80s, and it was a flat.
I was just going to say, was that the place you called a flat?
Yes, I called it the treehouse, actually.
The treehouse.
It was like my favorite place I've ever lived ever.
Uh-huh.
And I built it, and it was under construction, and I picked all the great stuff, and I put in a bunch of overages that just made it even more beautiful, and so it made it a desirable property, apparently. So he calls, and he said that he had heard, you know, like a year or so ago, that if he ever wanted to sell the property, that I might want to buy it back. Well, I fall out of my chair, because the timing's interesting at best, and I went and talked to my husband about it, and he said, well, you've only been talking about that particular condo for 4 years, so I suppose we probably ought to consider making an offer on it. And just so you know, the timing, in case you've forgotten, 4 years is the amount of time I've known and been married to my husband. So what he's saying is you've
been talking about it as long as we've been married.
Yes, exactly. So you must really, really love this place. Okay, so I'm getting to the point of our topic and our story, and it's all going to come together. So the guy calls me, he tells me that. And then at the end of the conversation, he also tells me that there's another lady who just sold her house, needs to be in a new place by June the 1st, and really wants to live in Woodlake, which is the neighborhood where I had my condo.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, okay, great. Like, why are you even calling me? Because the lady sold her house. She has her financing. She's
looking, he's looking at possibly selling it to her?
Yes.
Oh, so he's already trying to start a bidding war with you.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
you know, I'm really naive. I'm not naive. Let me just clarify that. My husband thinks I'm really naive. What I am is super trusting of people I feel like I can trust.
No, there's probably not even a little old lady that wants his place.
No. The end of the story, you will see that there is. So, anyway, I'm so excited, but I get off the phone and I tell my husband and I'm like, but you know what? I don't even really know why he called, because this lady has everything lined up and could sign a contract, and it's probably going to go to her, so I'm really not even going to think about it anymore. He's like, fine. He has no emotion in this game whatsoever. Anyway, and he's a very logical thinker and a very numbers-driven person. So he is like never going to give it another thought.
Right.
Until Monday, when we get a call from said owner of property who says that the lady looked at it, but she had not given him an offer, so that if we wanted to make an offer and it was more than the offer she made, then he would take our offer. Because in his words, I quote, you made this place so beautiful, you should be the one that gets to have it back and enjoy it.
At a premium. God,
at a premium. You need to pay for the overages.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but still, I'm like, oh my God, like this is so meant to be, because I'm all about the signs.
Yeah,
everything.
Here comes the emotions.
Oh yeah, so the emotions are really ramping up at this point. And so, you know, we talk about it, we come up with the numbers, we talk to my real estate friend, we get what we think is a very fair price based on what's the appraisals and giving, you know, a courtesy overage for the overages I've already paid.
For the Tracyisms that you put into the place.
Exactly. And so, anyway, so we go back and we are about to make the offer, but we don't, right?
Now, okay, this is not even having any kind of idea of what offer she has on the table.
Exactly. He gave me a number that he would like to have.
Okay.
And it was like about, let's just say for the sake of round numbers, it was about $30,000 more than the appraised value. So
wow.
Being the numbers guy that my husband is, that was never going to happen. And no matter how much I loved, because clearly I'm still talking about it, love that property, I'm not willing to do that either. I'm not ridiculous. So, So a couple days go by, I was like, can you give us a couple days? And we're putting some numbers together, and I'm texting with them, and I'm saying, you know, that we're still interested. And so a couple days pass, and then the next day I get a voicemail, and the guy, I mean, he's super kind, very respectful. He said,
yeah, he wants your money.
I've gotten an offer from the lady in X amount, and unless you can
get
closer to the number that I wanted, then I'm going to go ahead and take her offer. Thanks. And, you know, hope it works out.
Right.
I mean, it pretty much is what it said. So I was like, came back, talked to my husband, and
so wait, you came back. You were ready and willing to meet
No. Okay. I came back to That's a great clarifying question. I came back to tell my husband that the lady had made an offer that was over what we were willing to offer in the first place, and I knew we weren't going to counter offer. And so I just basically just was telling my husband like that I was sad, but I'm a very logical person. These are literally the words I say. I'm sad, but I'm a very logical person, and I get it. This lady, you know, she has to move somewhere June 1st. She had tried to buy two or three other units in the same place, and every one of them fell through. So this was her fourth shot at getting a unit there. So she obviously really loved it. And I had complete and total peace with it, people. That's what you need to take away. I had complete and total peace with it. It made logical sense to me. And I accepted it, and I let it go.
Okay.
Until...
He called you
later
again.
That day, right? Okay, so my husband had a great positive conversation. It was a catalyst to let us to some other decisions that we needed to put some final resolution on that were all positive. So I'm feeling great, right? And later in the day, I get another phone call from said gentleman who is very kind, but yet says to me that he actually is really thinking that the way that we were going to work out the terms might be actually better for him in the long term because he has some transitional issues with his mother moving in.
Okay, so now you have some leverage.
Well, no. Okay, you look at it as leverage.
Uh-huh.
I look at it as, I'm getting it!
Oh my gosh.
This is where the emotion
I got an igloo to sell you on the equator.
You're right. So the emotion is just like, through the roof. I'm like texting some of my best friends that still live there. And I'm like, I'm going to get the treehouse back. Oh, it's looking really good. I'm so excited. Everything is awesome.
What does this guy do for a living? Is he a realtor?
No. See, this is why you endear yourself to this man. He saves babies, like preemies. Okay. So you have to love this man. And I still do love him, even though I got very emotionally attached to this particular business offer, which I needed to separate business from personal. But then we are getting to the top.
Yes, yes.
So he asked me to put together all the terms and lay it out on paper, which I do. And we submit it to him the next morning. And we are on the phone with him for like an hour and a half. And it's going awesome. And like, I am like, this is so great. Like, we answer all his questions and he's happy. And he, you know, and I'm like, this is such a done deal in my mind. Of course, my husband never thinks anything is a done deal till it's a done deal, which is why we balance each other out so well. But me, I'm like, this is a sign. This is so good. This is great. We're going to have this thing back. Maybe I'll move back into it. I mean, you know, just I was 5 years down the line with how I was going to redecorate the overages I'd already made.
All right. So what happened?
Pay for twice.
Long story call, getting longer, by the way.
Sorry. But at the end of the call, he says, well, I really... I'm very interested and would really like to take your offer, but my wife...
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Doesn't want to sell the place?
No, she's emotionally involved in the difference between the terms, and based on a previous experience that they had in their life, she was more motivated to accept the first offer, not the second offer. And
because so she likes the little old lady that wants to move in.
No, she's never even met her, but he's been married to her for 31 years, and he literally says... that he has to accept the first offer because he wants to stay married to his wife for another 31 years. So, hello, long intro, two topic, emotional roller coaster, logic, not logic, make decision, not make decision, ultimately make decision that's not logical, but based on the emotions of said spouse, keep spouse happy, make decision. Nobody wins, in my opinion.
Okay, now, and the amount of time that you spent / wasted is about the amount of time it takes me to decide on a menu item at said restaurant from before.
Right, so I'm trying to heal my disappointment by telling everyone out there that 80% of the choices Americans make
represent
based on emotion.
Right.
However, there's also a new bit of information to this as we're halfway through the show.
Uh-huh.
That human beings are actually not rational. We are rational rationalize.
Yes.
So when we emotionally make a decision,
you rationalize. You rationalize it before you make the decision and after you make the decision.
Yeah, but even more importantly, after. So your emotions drive this decision, and emotionally afterwards, your logic kicks in and rationalizes said decision. Because my husband was not even interested in that condominium, okay. But by the time we got through it, he was ready to buy it. He thought it was a really great investment.
Okay, so
but
so
he just wanted to make me happy.
You didn't get the place, right?
No.
Okay, good. So you saved.
Good.
Because you were overpaying anyway because of all the Tracyisms you put into the place, and there's other units in that development condo
not like that one.
That will become available, and the amount of money that you're going to save in the difference.
Oh, I can redo the
you can Tracyism that place.
Okay, I went through that process, and thank you for pointing that.
How'd that work out for you?
It didn't, because it was an in unit on the third floor, and there is no other in unit on the third floor that had the same view as that particular unit.
Okay, okay.
So this lady ends up paying, I'm not even going to go into numbers because it's personal, but let me just tell you that she ended up paying even more than what, coming out of pocket, even more for that unit than what he originally was asking for. So she must have really loved it, and somehow her emotions have turned into rationalizations for her to rationalize spending that much more.
Or behind the curtain, it had nothing to do with any wife. It had to do with the fact that he went back to her with your offer, and then she says, well, I'll top it and let's be done with it. And he said, okay.
Yeah, but it really did fundamentally come down to two wives, because his wife wanted option A, and my husband wasn't really even interested, but he was entertaining the option for said wife that he was trying to keep happy. So it was two men trying to keep two women happy, going up against each other, a bidding war for a condo that wasn't even worth what anybody was paying for.
Okay, so time was wasted, but when you add up the time and the amount of money you saved, it all worked out. And it was a learning experience.
And don't just take my word for it. I'm going to back some stuff up with a neuroscientist named Antonio Damasio, who is a renowned neuroscientist who directs the USC Brain and Creativity Institute. And before that, he was the head of neurology at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. So don't just take my word for it.
All right, so this is a pretty smart guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Smarter than me. But I've lived life experience, and that's what makes it different. He studied it in a lab.
All right, so you're saying 80% of the choices that Americans make are emotionally driven. So the 20% are what? Logically driven, correct?
So he did this groundbreaking discovery, and the long and short of it, seriously, really short, is that he did studies on people who were the part of their brain where emotions were formed, they didn't have them. So they literally didn't have the ability to generate emotions. So he put decisions in front of them, and he found that they could make decisions, but not ones that involved emotion. And the best way to describe that is they could do things in logical terms, but when it says something, for example, like, do you want to eat steak or chicken? They couldn't make that decision because they didn't know if they emotionally felt more drawn to steak versus chicken, or if they felt like they might want to be a vegetarian. They couldn't even make a decision on what they wanted to eat because there was no rational way to decide.
So how do they decide
that decision?
Because it's down to the wire, and the guy is standing there saying, do you want steak or chicken? These people that have this deficiency or this missing part of their
probably what Jennifer Aniston referred to as the sympathy chip for Brad Pitt. They were lacking it. Anyway, just trying to throw in a funny. It wasn't funny. No, the answer is the test subjects could never arrive at a decision. Any of the things that were put in front of them that required an emotional response that didn't have a rational component to it, they could not.
They have to. They're hungry. They have to eat. You're telling me they.
No, it's just a survey. The chicken and the steak wasn't sitting in front of them.
Okay, okay.
Plus, they were probably wanting to get out of there because without emotions, they still probably felt like they were bored. I don't know. So anyway, that's when I started really thinking, okay, maybe my story is just a pretty old, good old standard story about
real estate
overriding logic in a situation that, I mean, why did the guy even call me? That's just what I could have done without that.
Listen, you were the other subject in pitting one price against another.
Yes,
you need two.
My husband so eloquently pointed that out to me, that if it was a situation that we would have run it up the same ballpark,
yes,
and whatever that sports analogy is, and we would have run it all the way out to the field or whatever that sports analogy is, and we would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
So whatever. I am moving on,
it's
although
business.
It doesn't sound like it.
Okay, so the intersection between personal and business growth, I want to see the business side of this, how this comes in.
Okay, I can appreciate that you're done with my personal stuff. So I do have a business intersection with this, and that is that not only can you learn to step back and hit the pause button on your emotional decisions and really feel where your logic is coming from, but in business, you almost have to create a branding and marketing foundation for your brand that does what? Pulls emotion from the target buyer.
So give us some examples.
Well, I think probably the best example, do you have a motorcycle? I can't remember.
I used to ride, but when I had kids, I got rid of it.
Okay, but when you had the single bachelor motorcycle, what brand was it?
It was a Yamaha.
That's because you do customer research, and you knew by customer research that Yamahas are far, far superior products to Harley Davidsons, I'm assuming.
As far as longevity, dependability, and I like the way that company made the engines, and they lasted, and they, yeah, you're right. Yes. I did a lot of research. I was logical.
And I know this because my husband had a Yamaha motorcycle.
Yes, I remember having that conversation with him.
Exactly. But 99.9, I'm making that statistic up, of everyone else thinks that they should have a Harley.
Harley, yes.
And the sound of when you crank up a Harley Davidson is patented.
It is.
Trademarked.
It is.
And this is what takes it to a whole nother level, is that they have built their brand in such a strong way to drive such strong emotion that they have retail stores all over the country that do not even sell motorcycles. All they do is
gear.
Just sell Harley gear.
Yes.
For people who probably don't even own Harleys.
Yes, and actually there's a name for it. Like, they have Harley Davidson motor clothes. It's motor clothes clothing.
See, that even makes you like, oh, I want some Harley Davidson motor clothes.
Exactly.
That sounds really cool. In fact, I actually have a Harley Davidson t-shirt that I bought at said retail store years ago to impress a boy.
All right, so you're basically
the t-shirt, the boy I don't care about anymore.
You're basically saying, in my case, Yamaha is a logical decision. If I bought a Harley, it probably would have been based on emotion.
I am. Well, I'm saying that that's the majority of what happens. And that's why they're so incredibly popular. And my husband, I don't know if you ran into this, but my husband ran into this when he had his Yamaha, and still, because he just sold his Yamaha and bought a. Oh my God! How can I not remember this?
Indian Ducati.
They just
Suzuki.
Stopped making them. They had them and they stopped
Triumph.
Making them because no.
No, they make Triumph. Okay.
Okay. Anyway,
we'll have to.
They're only making Indian Victory.
Oh, Victory!
I have a Victory.
Wait a minute. Now Victory, is that a logical or is that an emotional?
Well, it was logical and emotional because logically one would think, why would you buy a motorcycle that they're going to stop making? But they're still going to service them for years to come, and it's a far superior bike.
We need to get some sponsorships on this show.
And it was a good deal, and he did all of his research. But the people who are giving him hoopla about not having a Harley when he had a Yamaha are giving him even more hoopla. That's a nice word for what they're giving him, because he bought a bike that people are no longer making and didn't buy Harley. And so he feels like the black sheep of the motorcycle.
No, see,
kingdom.
And no, he's his own man. I like that. He travels his own road. He builds his own road and he travels on it. I like that. Now
he would have to be married to me because he needs his own road some days.
All right. Now I did tease that in a recession, we like to vacuum. So we're going to get on that. We have to take a quick break. I would love to hear from our listeners. What was one of the biggest decisions you made based on emotion? So you can log on to our website at journeytothere.com and leave your comments. We're going to take a fast break, and then we'll check in with Tracy's takeaways and the vacuuming thing right after this.
Podcasting is fast becoming the hottest marketing platform and most personal way to convey your message to the world. Now is the time to launch your show. Podcast listening grew 23% between 2015 and 2016, and 21% of Americans ages 12 and up listen to a podcast in the past month. So you want to start a show but don't know how? ProduceYourPodcast.com can help. Our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters can help you launch, manage, and grow your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. We offer full-service podcast production with live producers and distribution based on a customized marketing strategy to grow followers. contact us at produceyourpodcast.com and schedule your free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com. That's produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
So inspired by a song from 1980 from the Rolling Stones, Emotional Rescue. That's the topic, emotion versus logic in decision making. We're back. It's Russ Reba along with Tracy DeForge, who came up with this amazing topic, and I loved how we got into it. But we were talking about brands and like Harley Davidson, and I had teased in the beginning of the show how during a recession, we like to vacuum.
Well, that's a great teaser, but let me back it up with some facts so that we can really connect the dots.
She's got to put the statistics angle on it.
Yes, exactly. So brands are built by connecting emotions and logic. And the emotional component is what pulls you in. But regardless, if you're going to buy a vacuum cleaner that costs as much as a Dyson vacuum, which I think are on or around $496.
Yes. There are some cheaper models, but yes.
Yeah. So let's just call it $500. If you're going to pay $500 for a vacuum, unless it's like our previous story, you only want to make your wife happy, so you make an illogical decision. You are going to be pulled in by the sexy dynamics of how they look and all the fashionable design around them, but they also have incredible
suction
motors and
yes,
and they vacuum dirt better than any others, and they can prove that to you. So all of that being said, Dyson did such a great job that they were head and shoulders above the competition. And during the recession in 2010, that company reported that they had doubled their operating profits in the past 12
doubled
months, doubled their profits in the past 12 months in 2010 recession year to over $190 million. And they attribute it to new products that were equal parts fashion and utility, and branding that was equal parts emotion and logic.
Well, I mean, a Dyson vacuum cleaner is almost like a piece of art. You don't have to put it in the vacuum closet. You can leave it in the middle of the room. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
That's
you know
a Dyson.
Housekeepers actually never asked for one. So I'm just kidding. The housekeeper I wish I had. She's never asked for one. And the one that I have, which is me, just fine with an old dirt buster, whatever that thing is called, dirt devil. Yeah.
All right. Aside from the fact that you made a great decision in not jumping up that offer on that real estate property, what are some of the things you take away from this episode?
Okay. So I just want to, I want to do my takeaway, lead it into it with one last story, which is that this is about how really strong emotion versus perception is. So there was a scientist who did a study where they put a plump turkey and a skinny turkey in front of you. And one audience said the plump one was more natural and the skinny one wasn't. And the other group said that the skinny one was more natural and the plump one wasn't.
Yes, I agree with the second.
Right. But you know what? The outcome was both groups picked the plump chicken.
Because they wanted to eat more.
They
were hungry.
They didn't care whether it was the healthier one or not. It looked better to eat. So, hey, that
was emotional.
A story. Yes, that was a very emotional decision. But we can also thank Professor Jordan Louvier of the University of Alberta for my takeaway, which is he invented what's called the Max Diff, M-A-X-D-I-F-F. And that is if you are researching your brand or you're just trying to get a decision made, pros and cons, that it is better, like when you take a survey and you said, select all that apply, that's not going to give you the results that you're looking for. But if you ask people to put in order the reasons that they are interested in something and have you prioritize them, which my husband did about this unit, and about the first four of the five were emotional things.
Right.
But that is the way that you can determine whether or not you are making a decision based on rational facts or emotions. So you just take the and prioritize your list, and that's called the Max Diff. So you can use it in business or personal. But one of the probably the most important takeaways, and I'm just going to say this really quickly, it's called hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And if you make a decision when you're either hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and if you have a hard time remembering that, just think halt. Halt before
hungry,
you make that
angry,
decision.
Lonely, okay.
Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Halt before you make that decision, because emotion will win 100% of the time and push you in the wrong direction if you make it in either of those four states.
Halt.
So
okay.
Halt if you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and put the decision on what? The pause button.
The pause button. Speaking of pause button, until our next episode, plus I got to wrap it up because I got to go shop for a Harley and a Dyson. Now, I wonder how many downloads iTunes is going to get on the Rolling Stones song Emotional Rescue today. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. Have a quick visit to our website, journeytothere.com. Leave a comment. Let us know your biggest decision made on pure emotion. And have you missed a past episode? Find it on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and Empower Radio. Don't miss our next episode. Be sure to hang out with us again at the intersection between personal and business growth.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.